Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, Kalen Patterson, P4P Real Talk, Midwest Muscle in the house. Oh yeah, baby. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world, and third-party tested for drug-free. If you're a drug-free athlete and looking for a solid foundation to stand on, and a vehicle to drive your goals like a Mack truck through ice cream, check us out at peoplepmuscle.com. And now, let us not sing but talk. Yeah, yeah. As you can tell, I'm without that, so I'm the ghost in the machine, the standalone complex. I am solo tonight without my Desiree. Team Awesome is just team without the awesome. No. Emoji, tear, sad face. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go in a corner and cry for a minute. Just wait there. I'll be right back. I'm sorry. I'm kidding around because I miss my partner. And we do so well together. And as everybody knows, we just celebrating 1 year of having 10,000 listeners. And as I was thinking about that, I remember all these people asking, is natural bodybuilding dead? And I'm thinking, we've got one radio show that has almost 14,000 listeners now. We had 10,000 last year. So you answer that question. Is natural bodybuilding dead with those kind of numbers for one radio show? And there's plenty of other radio shows out there for the natural side of the industry. So you tell me. But anywho, I digress. We have a wonderful individual on tonight, and she has just been tearing up the stage this year. She stepped on stage the first time I saw her, and she didn't do as well as she wanted. And then all of a sudden, after that, she did more than what she wanted. Next thing you know, she's got pro cards and all kinds of awards and everything else. And I'm talking about Carrie Lampke. So, Carrie, could you please introduce yourself and say hello to the listeners?
Hey everybody, I'm back. Yes.
Now we had you on for the couples part of it because it was a nice genuine thing to see, where instead of you having to deal with basically the breakups and the suffering and all the bad things that happen from people that are competing and that's their only goal in life, and it supersedes relationships, work, job, friendships, everything. And basically they get the win, but they lose everything else. And we wanted you on so we could show that that's not the case for the true competitor, because there is a balance that's done, and it's done quite successfully. And you and your husband proved that quite nicely. And now you're personifying that even more with what you've been doing. So I'll let everybody know what you've done. Well, I'll let you let everybody know what you've done since the last time you were on. And we will open up the door for dialogue with the listeners.
Awesome. Well, first of all, I appreciate you having me back. The last time we spoke, I didn't do so well at that show in June. And since then, I competed in August in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I ended up winning my IPE Pro card, which was a huge blessing because, first of all, to win is amazing, and then to win your Pro card on top of taking first place. It's just that goal. I finally was like, I did it, you know, I made it finally. My ultimate goal, however, this season was to take Mayhem. That was my ultimate goal. Last time I competed at the Minnesota Mayhem was 2015, and I took second place to an awesome gal. We've become such great friends now. At the time, I was quite sour, to be honest. But I've matured over the last few years and competed at Mayhem October 14th in Duluth, Minnesota. I went up against six amazing, beautiful women. I was surprised there was that many physique competitors because usually that class is quite small. So I was super, super excited. I was ready to battle, brought my best package. I definitely exceeded my goals, physically speaking. And I ended up winning my NGA and PNBA
and
pro card.
Wow.
Yeah, so three pro cards essentially, I guess, in a season. I got an invite to Worlds,
three pro cards, literally.
I know. I got an invite to Worlds, which is in Vegas in November. I'm not going to be going because I want to compete as a pro, but I want to put on much more size. And besides winning a couple pro cards in Duluth, I also got best poser, best presentation, and that meant the world to me. Yeah, and it meant the world to me because I put so much work and heart and soul into my routine and my posing, because posing can make or break you. It can put you first and it can put you last. And so I take pride in what I present to the judges, and I want them to see every angle, every muscle, every striation. And it was amazing. It was a dream come true. I also got, am going to be on the cover of Phonetics magazine, which is run by Ron Anderson. I know, I'm so excited. And they're going to do a spread in the magazine on me. So I'm really, really excited about that too. So it's just been a huge, huge blessing. It was a great way to end my season, hanging up my suit for now, and just keep plugging along and trying to put on more size.
Oh, I think that won't be a problem. I think the refeeds and the getting back to normal will be quite easy for you, because you haven't when you have that much dedication to the sacrifice that you're doing, usually you don't fall apart when you have the support that you have. And I'm going to basically go back on to that point, because it's very vital people understanding what they're getting into, because it's not a ball of rainbows, unicorns, and, you know, fruit bowl filled everything. There's a lot of work, but there's a lot of joy in the work if it's done correctly. So, you know, elaborate on that, because you had to spend that time with your husband, and then you did it with your own diet, and basically you found a way to make that work, but it also worked in a way that you both earned pro cards on some very tough competitive things. And before we go into that, I have to say, because I'm very proud to know both of you and Desiree are two of the most competitive women that I've ever seen spoken with, because you don't want to get on the stage unless there's true competition up there. So with that being said, get back into the supportive part of what you're doing and elaborate so the listeners can understand exactly what they're getting into, their why, which would be you explaining your why, and also talking about how to make it through a successful season, not just a successful prep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me just kind of enlighten the listeners a little bit on what I went through physically speaking. June was my first show in Madison, Wisconsin. I was 124 pounds. By the time October rolled around and I got on stage a couple weekends ago, I was 111 pounds. So going through that dramatic of a physical change, it wore on me. It was difficult. I cried a lot, quite honestly. 3 weeks out from my show, I was sitting on the kitchen floor, and I was crying because I had never been that lean, and it was starting to mess with my head. Like, people just think, you know, oh, you're tired and you're cold all the time. No, it was messing with my head, and I called my coach, and I told him, I'm struggling. This is really difficult. You know, I was 111 pounds. I had no idea, because I had never been that lean before. He bumped up my macros, which are, you know, the carbs, the protein, and the fat. He cut out some cardio, which was huge. It was a mental game changer. And it just kind of lit that fire all over again, because, you know, people think like, oh, you just have to diet and, you know, do some cardio and you're good. But it takes a physical and mental toll on you that you're not prepared for. And having Jeff by my side and him having gone through all of that, it was huge for me. he would get up with me in the early mornings. I was up at 3:45 every single morning, and he would get up with me. He would take my pictures for me. He'd help prep my meals. And then I have my coach where I can call and cry and complain. And I also have a best friend that, you know, she was there through everything, like sending me encouraging Snapchats and emails and text messages, and just kept pushing me. And what people don't realize is you need that support. You can't do this alone.
Yes.
You know, if your season is short, you know, like 6 months, like good for you. But I dieted, Kaylin, I dieted for 40 weeks. I started dieting October 2016. That was the longest year of my life, but it ended with the biggest crown, which was getting to that physical state that I wanted to push myself to and winning mayhem. But like I said, you can't do this by yourself, because if you're new at it, or even if you're a veteran, every season is different. Every competition season you go through is different than the one before. So people just need to be prepared. You know, if you don't prepare, you're going to fail. And that is in all aspects of life, not just competing. But you have to have that support system to help carry you through.
Hashtag word up. You kill us. Now, I want to put out there that, you know, there's so much involved in competition. And the one thing that always used to shock me when I was reading, and this is one of the reasons I never really stepped fully into bodybuilding, is because of the selfish and egotistical statements that would be made that I would see on some of my news feed, like when Facebook was first coming up. And people would talk about, yeah, I'm suffering so bad, you know, this food sucks and everything's terrible and I got to do this all on my own. And then when I got into the industry and started seeing behind the scenes, and you see 12, 13 people standing back there with the person that said that they didn't have anybody that would support them. And I was thinking, well, who are they? You know, if you did it all on your own, you basically had to tan your back. You basically didn't have anybody to give you up or put on your makeup. You basically had to sit back there and do it all on your own. And then you find out there's so many people involved. And I'm thinking, you know, what a selfish statement to make. To basically have people help you all through that time, during the times that you're talking about, because everybody goes through them, myself included, where you basically have that hit the wall, make or break moment, and you're like, well, I'm going to push through. But, buddy, there's two or three people telling you, don't jump. You know, walk yourself back and stay off the ledge. And I was just so frustrated that they took so much from the people that had done so much for them to get them to that moment that you're talking about. And it really hurt. And I said, well, you know, we have to show the truth in the matter of the natural side of competitions, because it is a family environment. There is a lot of people involved. And when you're doing it naturally, there's a lot of pain and suffering that just don't come from the enhanced side. And it encompasses a mindset that will either have you become a much better, stronger, physically able individual, or basically somebody that's, like I said at the beginning of the show, who's sitting in a corner crying because I don't know what to do with the rest of my life because, you know, I basically succumbed to all the pressures of competition.
Right. Another thing, too, is, you know, as competitors, you know, we complain, we sacrifice, we go through all this and that, but what we don't take a step back and understand is our families sacrifice, our friends sacrifice, and sometimes our jobs sacrifice because, you know, when you're defeated and you're hungry, you know, you're not giving your full potential at work. On the other side, I'm guilty. I have complained a lot during prep, but what people, you have to understand, we chose this. Nobody's making us do this. We're making ourselves do this. So if you're going to, you know, fully get into it and put all your heart and soul into it, but then you're complaining the entire time, well then, okay, fine, back out. Either do it or don't complain about it. or just mildly complain about it. Because, like I said, nobody's making you compete. Nobody's making you sacrifice and do, you know, the blood, the sweat, and the tears and leave it all on the gym floor except you. So you have to take responsibility for your own self and not try to blame the industry or blame your coach because you chose to do this.
Yes. You know, I always thought it was funny that, you know, the coach is the first one to get blamed for all the mistakes
right.
of the competitor. And how does that happen if you're the only person that did it? Now, all of a sudden, when you lose, you know, your coach sucked, the tanning sucked,
yep.
Your makeup sucked, your posing trunks sucked. I mean, like, it's like you did all this on your own, and now that you didn't place the way you wanted, how
yeah.
did all these people come into play when everything you did was you? And so, you know, I'm glad that you can
right.
be open and honest about this where people can understand, you know, as much as they take the selfies, there's a lot of ussies in those pictures.
Right.
It's not a
absolutely.
When you
oh, I was just saying, absolutely. I completely agree with that. A lot of that's why I can't stand Instagram and Facebook, especially when people are competing, because they make it look easy. And they're like, look what I did, and look how great I am. But what they're not saying is, look how great my support team is. Like, I
yes.
do my own hair. I do my own makeup. Jess tans me. We tan
oh.
each other when we're both competing. It's just, you have choices to make. And when you make
mm-hmm.
that choice to make it all about you and you forget how to be humble and thank those people around you, it's going to kick you in the butt in the end. And if you don't put in the work, you don't put in the time and all you care about is how great you look in a bikini, well, it's probably going to show on stage.
Yes, indeed. And like you said, with the posing, if that's not done correctly, and trust me,
mm-hmm.
as much as you like to think that we can do so many, you know, we're taught to be independent, but I said it would be better if we were taught to be interdependent, where we can understand that, yes, I can make it on my own, but it's so much better when I have the support that I should and need. Because, you know, I think back to Psalms 23, and it says, you know, there's so many things that we miss just because we're protected, and those people are protecting us from things that we don't even know until after prep, and thank God for it.
Right.
So when these things are happening, we have to be mindful, and I'm so overjoyed of your humble nature and just how level-headed you stayed. And like you said, it wasn't on your own, but I thank God that you were able to make it through so we could have this show and we could have this conversation, because so many people are looking at these, I don't want to say it's fake because it's a real person they're portraying isn't the whole truth. It's basically
right.
an edited version of TV. And I think if you
yep.
compress it into 3 minutes, yeah, it's going to look sweet. It's going to look great. And, you know, you're never going to see the clothing changes, but you know they did because they're walking on stage in a different outfit. But if you start
right.
looking at the – have to get the clothes ready, if you have to look at the people that have to get the makeup ready, there's so many people that are involved in every part of a prep that it's frightening when you hear people say, you know, look at what I did. Most of the true
mm-hmm.
competitors basically spend their first post after their competition saying, look, I'm really sorry for everybody I put through hell for the time that I did. I prepped for so long. I said, that's when you know a person is truly competitive by nature, because they were so focused that, yes, they did forget things. But now they can come
yeah.
back and say, look, I was inhuman for a moment, but I'm showing my humanity now, and hopefully it balances out where you can still love me and be my friend.
Right. Yeah. I want to thank you for your compliment about being humble. I wasn't this way in 2015. I honestly wasn't. I thought, like, my first show was Mr. and Miss Minnesota, the biggest show in Minnesota, and I was doing
wow, yeah.
a figure at the time. And I was like, I can't believe I got fourth place. I deserve to win. Look how great I look. You know, I thought I was just everything. And I've learned along
mm-hmm.
the way that if you support your fellow competitors instead of being snotty to them because they did better than you or they look better than you, it goes a really, really long way. And being humble in this industry is everything. I had a head judge tell me at the show in August that she appreciated how humble I was on stage. It just makes you a different competitor versus somebody who's trying to show off and sticking their tongue out and slapping their leg, and it's like, calm down. Like, we're all here for the same reason. It's going to be okay. But
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say quickly, I posted on Facebook a little while ago that without Jesus, I was a monster. And now I'm a faith-driven beast. Because none of this is possible without God. It's really not. You get out of bed every single morning because of the Lord, and also because your husband is kicking you out of bed because he knows you want to get to the gym on time.
He wants you out of that shower so he can get his turn. Well, what I was going to say is that we get a lot confused because of this me mentality. And if it, like you said, if we let it seep in, it will become very destructive to us and everybody we deal with. And the one thing that always keeps me aligned is the next generation that looks up to us, whether we accept that responsibility or not. And they're modeling their lifestyle somewhat after who you are and what you do. And that scares the crap out of me. Because when I'm looking down at my nieces and nephews and they're doing things and traits that I don't recognize day to day because it's me, but it's things that I do, the little idiosyncrasies that just make up my day, the little, you know, noises, little twerks, tweaks, that makes us the unique individuals we are. But they're modeling a part of their life after that because they love you and they're saying, you know, this is something I'm going to carry on in my life. And when you think about that and the sincerity of what's happening in that moment, yikes.
Yeah, it is yikes. I think about when I was younger and I look at the young girls now, I'm like, oh, my word. I think I was still playing with Barbies when I was 16. I wasn't chasing boys and, you know, doing all the naughty things. And it just, it really makes me sad and it breaks my heart. And I actually have 11 nieces and nephews. I got a huge family. So, yeah, it's definitely what what people don't understand is what you put on social media and what you put out there for the world to see. The world is literally going to see that. So how do you want people to see you? And how do you want people, people are like, I don't care what people think about me. Well, that's great, but you should also look on the inside and be like, okay, if I have, you know, a son or a daughter or nieces and nephews, well, who do I want them to look up to? Do I want them to look up to this, you know, cocky, arrogant monster? Or do I want them to look up to this humble, kind human being that they are proud to call their auntie?
Yeah. Well, you know, let's go back to scripture since we're talking, because I shared that. When we were in Bible study, I shared a scripture, and it said, let your light so shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So basically, we have to prove who we say we are, whether we accept that responsibility. And, you know, that's basically what it comes down to. If we're going to accept responsibility for what we say in the good, then those bad days that we're caught red-handed, we have to accept that as well. And it's really showing up in this nation more and more day by day when people claim this great, good-natured individual until something goes wrong, and then Katie bar the door because, you know, all hell's going to break loose and these MFs don't know me and, you know, USOBs.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, if you have people following you on those good days, we have to understand they're still watching on the bad days. They might not want to comment because they don't know how to comment. Where was that person and who is this monster? And it causes basically a delay in growth. And there's so much involved. But I'm going to get to the listener questions because we're getting some now. And, we actually had them, but I just wanted to get that part out there because you had such a good point you were making. I didn't want to interrupt it. But we're going to go to Tiffany's question first. And she is saying, you know, with you being 124 pounds and then going down to 111, you actually look bigger and fuller. How do you do that, and how does that happen for somebody that's basically going to be doing a first-year prep?
Well, I have a coach that I fully, completely trust, and that's a huge thing, is especially for beginners in this industry, is finding somebody that you can trust and is in it for the right reasons and not in it to just take your money. Going from 124 pounds, which is a healthy weight for, you know, I'm 5'6", so it's a healthy, healthy weight. Going down to 111 pounds, the way that I guess she said I looked fuller. Was that what she said?
Yes, bigger and fuller.
Bigger and fuller. Well, I don't want to say it's an optical illusion, but when you lose fat and
yes,
you're
there, you go.
You're way lean. You're going to look fuller and you're going to look bigger just because you've lost fat. And what people also have to understand is while you're losing fat, you are going to lose some muscle too. It's very disheartening. Mm-hmm. It's very confusing because you're like, I'm supposed to be huge and big and strong, and you're not. During the peak week, I think the most I could lift was like an 8-pound dumbbell. Like, you're very weak, but that's the way you look fuller and bigger, is because you have lost so much fat and you've lost a little bit of muscle, but now you're just lean muscle, and that's the way you look fuller.
Yeah.
And then also, you deplete personally for me, for my coach, we depleted for 3 days, which means my carbs were super low. And then the morning of the show and leading up to the show, he started carb loading me. So I was on 45 carbs for 3 days. And then after the 3 days, he slowly built my carbs back up. And the day before the show, I was at 225 grams of carbs. So that's playing a role in how you look on stage.
Yes. And it's a good point that you said that the low carbs and the amount of days, because you're talking 111 pounds. You can get away with that number. Mm-hmm. But somebody that's 210 pounds could not. And I've seen coaches that
right.
had their competitors on 30 and 40 carbs, and I think the guy was 190 pounds. And, you know, I'm basically waiting for him to faint right in front of me because even on
that's
a show
scary.
Day, you're on, when do you get to eat? If it's like show day and you're still on those numbers, it's like you said, if you don't have the right, it's going to be scary, and you should be scared. And you know, I love
right.
the way when we had Leif Anderson on the show, and he said, you know, don't be afraid to question your coach, and
absolutely.
Don't be afraid to have get an answer. Yeah, because you're talking
that's,
about your life. Go ahead.
Right. That is extremely important, and I'm glad that Leif said that, because if you just like, oh, yeah, okay, he's telling me to do this or this or she or whatever, tell me to do this or that, I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm losing. If you lose weight too much fat or too fast, that should be a red flag. Also a red flag is if your coach cuts out water. That's a big no-no. Up until the show,
yes.
I was drinking up to 2 gallons of water.
Yes.
If your coach is like, oh, no, we're cutting water out, you should be like, I'm going to question that, because water is essential, and that also helps your muscles look fuller as well.
Yes. I mean, you figure if the highest percent of your body is water, and you say,
right.
well, I'm going to – like, how do you run a car without gas in the engine? So I just – you know, it's like radiator, water in the radiator. It makes no sense. Sooner or later, you're going to overheat. But, you know, it's a lot of people say, well, that sounds kind of stupid, but if you're carb depleted and you're not with the regular amount of nutritionals for your day, you're going to be lightheaded. You're going to be missing some things. So there was plenty of times during prep where I was saying, what was I thinking? Why didn't that make sense? Yeah, so, you know, when somebody says something, you are more apt to follow along with it because, you know, in my mind right now, nothing's making sense. So, you know, it sounds simple to people that have a full meal for like 3-4 meals. But for somebody who's been cutting back, like you said, to get to that lowered body fat state, it will tax your brain like nobody's business. And unless you've been through it, it really doesn't sound like it's too hard until you have to do it. But I said that's with any sport. You know, I was thinking, how hard can it be to dunk a basketball until I tried to do it? And then when I did, the most soreness from finally getting up there and doing it, yeah, well, now I need a couple of days off because guess what? I had to go above and beyond what I was normally doing, and I paid for it because now my legs and my back and my arms are killing me because I tried so many times to get that ball in the hoop. It's so much more what we understand, but until we go through it, it always sounds easy. And I always think about the couch potato watching the football game, and they say, how can he miss? And you're thinking, well, if you knew the situations on the field, maybe you might think a little different.
Yeah, and just a little advice for Stephanie. You know, you're paying this person. You're trusting them with your metabolism, with your health, with your happiness, and with your placings. And like Leif said, I'm so glad you mentioned that, Caitlin. You have to ask the questions, and you got to kind of know the right questions. And, you know, just because, you know, maybe your girlfriend is competing too, what works for her may not work for you. And so
That's
just
right.
be aware of the water intake and the cookie cutter coaches, because everybody is different. So just a little advice there.
Yes. And it's also, well, this actually pegs into one of our other listener questions. And this is from Jessica. Jesse's saying, you know, with the way you dieted for as long as you did, how do you keep that much muscle? Because she's a nurse. And she's saying, you know, at a depleted state, muscle loss is a lot easier than body fat loss.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, now we go back into the coaching part, because this is something you can elaborate on with having a coach that knows what they're doing to basically keep that muscle from falling off instead of the body fat.
Exactly. And every division is different. Bikini trains different than figure. Figure trains different than physique. And physique definitely trains different than bodybuilding. I'm blessed in the fact that my coach has a science background. He has his degree in science, so he knows every working part of my body. And he knows, okay, I got to change up her program. You know, we take progress pictures every week. So he can see, okay, you know, Carrie, your legs aren't coming in how they should be, or we need to change, you know, up your bicep movements because one peak is higher than the other peak. And, yeah, you are going to lose muscle. It doesn't drop as quickly as fat if you're doing the right things. If you're pushing hard in the gym, if you're lifting heavy, and then you're eating the right meals. Because a lot of competitors do follow the if it fits your macros. My husband and I go the route of eating clean, where it's more, you know, the green beans, the spinach, the chicken, the turkey, instead of, well, I can fit a Snickers, so I might as well. Food reacts to your body differently.
Yes,
clean eating, I feel, is definitely more beneficial for your muscles and for your body than if it fits your macros. And everybody's different, so don't just follow what I do because it works for me. But because some people, you know, when you eat clean for a really long time, after shows, that's when the binging starts, and that's when reverse dieting can get really scary. So don't think that I never had an if it fits your macros meal, because I did. Trust me, I had ice cream when I could. But to answer Jessica's question, I leave that all up to my coach. I trust him completely. I trust him fully, and I know I'm going to lose muscle. It's just the nature of the game, and you just have to. That's when the complete package comes into play, where your posing's on point. You know, your muscle symmetry is on point. You chose the right color suit. You know, everything plays a role. And dieting that long was hard. We had to focus on getting me more lean than putting on more muscle. Because you can only put on muscle with time. You know, I took a year and a half off. And that's the only way you're going to put on muscle, because you're not going to put on muscle while you're prepping for a show. It's just not you're going to put on muscle, but not as much as people think. It's just not possible. Especially when your macros are super low. So it's all a part of what you do in your off season, and that's why I get so frustrated when girls take like a 3-month break. Oh, I'm back on stage again. It's like, but you didn't give your body time to get back to normal. You know, you didn't give your metabolism time to get back to normal and level out. So you have to give yourself ample time in the off season to put on that muscle, because when you start cutting, you're going to lose some muscle. It's just a part of the game.
Well, now you touched on something that has Sarah a little confused, and if you don't want to answer it, I can answer it for you because I already know the answer, and you do too.
Okay.
But it's, you know, usually don't like to dive into that. And she's, you know, basically saying you've spoken 3 or 4 times about how when you're dieting, you're not going to be able to keep the muscle that you created. You're going to lose some in the process of the diet, which is true. That's factual. I mean, it's been proven. Science has backed it up 1,000 times over. But she has a friend at her gym who's competing in a natural, and I'll put that in air quotes, a natural show where she's basically losing all kinds of body fat, but she's gained 6 pounds of muscle because on the scale, she's heavier now than she was when she started her prep, but she's actually lost the body fat and she's retaining the muscle and growing. So I'll let you tackle that first if you want, but I can definitely piggyback it and back you up to, you know, with what's going on.
Well, my first thought was genetics, because 6 pounds of muscle while losing fat, I mean, I guess it's possible. I don't know, Caitlin, I'm going to give this one to you because I think it's a little bit over my head, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you take this one.
We're just going to dispel that one right now because it's not true. And that's why I said I put the natural show in air quotes, because there's plenty of people cutting the natural side of competitions, but they're the furthest thing from it. For, you know, if it had been a guy, I would, you know, have to speculate and I would, you know, err on the side of caution.
Mm-hmm.
But for a woman to be gaining 6 pounds of muscle in a prep,
no.
Not in a year, in a prep. I'm having issues. I'm definitely having big issues with that because it's a female, and we both know that women don't produce the kind of testosterone that could sustain or support that while losing that much body fat. So, you know, when we're gonna this is real talk. So we're gonna talk for real, and that's not possible for a natural athlete. That is why she said, you know, it's so good to have support. It's so good to have the people that can be there, because trust me, every meal counts. Every workout counts. Every hour of your day counts, because the slightest miss means months.
Yeah.
Months of training.
Right.
Lost. And so, you know, You appreciate every inch of everything. If you can still have a bicep by the time you're done with your prep, you're happy, because like Carrie said, it looks like, for a competitor, it looks like you lost everything. You look in the mirror and you're seeing a stick, and it's like, that's not it. That's not it.
And you feel that way, too. You're like, I'm so small. But I wanted to just touch back on that. I'm glad you said that, Caitlin. I was shying away from mentioning help, if you will, just because I didn't know this female. I don't know what she's doing or what she's not doing, but it's just not possible, especially for women. Like you said, our bodies are filled with estrogen, and unless you're taking something that helps your testosterone levels as a female, it's really not possible to put on 6 pounds of muscle while you're prepping, and especially depending on what division she's doing, which class she's doing. It's a little frightening. So just everybody listening, be careful of what you're putting in your body, because it will affect you one way or the other.
Yes, and I'll also add to that and piggyback on it. There are some coaches, and that's in air quotes as well, that basically say take and you'll be fine through the prep. You know, just take, I'll supplements. No, red flag for sure. You know, that'd be...
Right.
Basically, your diet and suggesting supplementation, because like Carrie said, they don't know your body until they have a full prep or a full year of dealing with your metabolism, your reaction to food and everything else.
Yep.
There is no reason to be suggesting any kind of supplementation until they know how your body
right.
works. And any good coach is going to take that route, because they would err on the side of caution, because they are not dealing just with the competitor. They're dealing with your health. So, you know, please, it's great to compete, but it's also great to be healthy and great to step
mm-hmm.
off stage and still have a body you can live with. Hear what I just said, a
right.
body and live with. Because I know when I'm talking to Carrie, she's not going to be coming back floating over the Goodyear, I mean, some football stadium with like a Goodyear blimp, because she basically trashed from the top. There's a lot going on behind the scenes,
mm-hmm.
and thank God the people that know how to do it are there. So,
yeah.
Carrie, do you have anything I wanted to add to that before we get to the next question?
I did have something that I totally went right out of my head. I feel like I'm still in prep, so I totally forgot it. So we can move on. My bad.
Okay, well, the first one's easy. This is from Jill, and she just wants to know, she's been following you, so, you know, shout out to Jill for following you and keeping you honest and, you know, being there for you and supporting you. But mm-hmm. she wants to know, and she's hoping that you don't take another year and a half off to do your role, because, you know, with your size on stage, it's comparable to some of the pros, and I think I've told you that in the past as well. But,
yeah.
you know, that's your call, and I don't know anyone that can force you to do otherwise, because you have a visual self-image and you have a mental self-image that you say is your best, and until you have it, you should work
mm-hmm.
to that, because that's what you want
right.
to. That's what you want to look for.
Right. I'm sorry. I guess I didn't understand. What was your question? How long am I taking off? Okay. Yeah. Hi, Jill, and thank you for following me, by the way. I am actually going to take 2 to 3 years off. With having obtained my NGA Pro card, you have to compete within 3 years. So that's my
mm-hmm.
window. I know it's a lot longer than people are like, why would you take that much time off? But when you're prepping for as long as I did, my metabolism needs work. My mind, my body, I need to get back to reset. I need to reset that button. And I definitely want to put on more size. And I appreciate that compliment, Kaylin. And you have said that to me in the past, that I can hang with the pros. I don't want to just hang with the pros, though. I want to win a pro show. That's my ultimate goal. My coach wants me to compete. My coach wants me to compete in an NPC show, but I don't want to, only for the fact that I don't want people to second guess if I'm natural or not. But he
yeah.
has so much faith in me that he thinks that I could win an NPC show, and I think he's silly. But, yeah, my goal for this this next off season is definitely going to be 2 to 3 years max. So.
Okay, you've got about 12 emoji sad face.
Oh, no. Oh, sad. I'm sorry.
17. All right, 21.
Oh, no.
All right, I'm not counting it. I'm done. You guys can stop sending them. Okay, now that's but you'll still be around. You know, you'll still be.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because you're affected well. So, you know, if the guys, it's not like she's saying she's going to disappear. And we have had that happen. Sadly so on the natural side more than anything, is where we have people where their bucket list is to basically compete and win their pro card, and then you don't hear from them anymore. And I mean, over the years, let's see, I've been covering this about 7 years now, so I can,
mm-hmm.
you know, the pros that have been on stage when I started are still on stage, but the ones that are
mm-hmm.
up and coming because of this microwave mentality that, you know, we're so fond of talking about, they, you know, it's got to win now and got to win now. And when you're told that you got to take a year to increase the step of pro stage, because there's a way to look to win a pro card, and then there's a way to look
exactly.
to win on a pro stage. That's two different entities.
Exactly. And to be a physique a woman's physique pro is and compete as a pro is different from bikini and figure. Especially bikini girls, you know, you girls don't need that much time off to put on muscle, you know, to get as lean as they want physique and bodybuilding women to be. So that's another reason why I am taking so much time off. And I have to be cognizant of my reverse, because to be completely bare and vulnerable with you guys, in 2015, after my season, I took a year and a half off, like I said, at my heaviest, and I'm doing air quotes, I was 142 pounds. I screwed up my reverse last season in 2015. I went off the deep end. I gained weight way too quickly, and so I had to work that much harder this time around, this prep, to get down to where my coach wanted me to, and that is another reason why we're extending my off season and taking it a lot slower than we did in 2015. So, like I said, I'm just giving my body a break and my brain a break. And no, I'm still working out. I still get up at 4 o'clock every morning and get in the gym. I'm not going to disappear. I have a goal. I have aspirations, and I'm ready to kill it and bring the best carry that I have brought and beat this year tenfold. So I'm not going anywhere. I've been doing this for 5 years, so I'm going anywhere.
There you go. You're in it for the long haul. It's okay. All right, listen, you got the scope on that, so don't be shocked when you see her in the audience or at some of the booths, because I'm sure somebody's going to be trying to get that pro over there. So, you know, also, I don't want to overlook any more questions, because we've had a great dialogue, and the listeners love it, but I'm still getting questions in. So now, this one is from the guys. We got some regular guys, and they're not perverts, and they're not creepy. Do appreciate the physique of men and women. And one of the things mm-hmm. they were saying is, you know, with your shoulders are just massive looking on stage. And what kind of work? I'm sorry, Bill. I was just you. The way you wrote your shoulders just stood out to me, because this is something that's near and dear to me. But he says your shoulders stand out so much on stage that it's hard to believe that you need to take those years off. But again, we're talking about a person's decision, so guys, please respect that. And then, how did you get the caps on those shoulders where they look like mountain peaks? And these are his words, not mine.
Oh, thank you so much, Bill. I really, really appreciate that, because I worked really hard, because I had puny shoulders in 2015. A lot of it is heavy delt press, reverse flies, you know, front side raises, and consistency. You know, if you get in the gym and you're just lifting 5-pound dumbbells every time you do shoulders, well, you're probably not going to make any gains. So I definitely focused on lifting heavier and just kind of tearing those muscles apart, rebuilding them every workout. And with this time off, I'm focusing on my weak body parts, which are my glutes.
You have them?
Yes. my glutes and my legs. I've improved drastically with my leg size. And if anybody goes back on my Instagram or Facebook, you can see a difference in 2015 to 2017 on my leg size. But for physique women, we need those quads. My hamstrings, no problem. I got those for days. That's where I grow the most, because, you know, everybody is built differently. But I definitely need to grow up my legs. So, but with those shoulders, I really appreciate that compliment. But, yeah, definitely lift heavy is the biggest thing I focused on. And I just focused on my weak body parts this last off-season in 2016, which was my shoulders. My legs. So this next go around, definitely going to be focusing on those weak body parts. So
now I'm going to, this one's, it's a good question, but it's not worded to understanding. So I'm going to basically paraphrase. So don't, you know, all right, Linda, don't be mad for me saying it in a way that Carrie can understand it. When you talked about when you were competing at first, and you realized, well, you thought you were the stuff and you were supposed to win, that was a certain mentality. a lot of competitors carry that with them when they step on stage for the first or second time. There is a competitive side that's not destructive. It is constructive, but it is still competitive. So you do want to win, but like you said, when you were looking at the girls initially, you were basically trying to down them to keep your own self-worth. The next time you did it, you gave them value because you respected the work they did to look the way they did. So when you're talking about those two different people, even though it's still you, could you basically let her know what kind of mindset that is? And you're basically backstage and then on stage, and then from, you know, one time competing and then real time competing.
Yeah. A lot of it I have to credit to the Lord. It completely, you know, diving into Him and seeking His face every day completely changed me as a person. In 2015, when I was competing and thought that I, you know, my crap didn't stink and I deserved to walk away with a pro card, that was small-minded, and that was from, you know, being in, from a small town, hearing, you know, oh, you look great, you know, you're doing so fantastic,
yes,
and you're going to win, you're going to kill it, and And instead of, you know, being humble and putting that, you know, okay, thanks so much, I'm going to do my best, I was like, yeah, I am. Like, I was very immature. And I took for granted the shape that I was in, and I took for granted every single time I stepped on stage. And backstage, I didn't mingle. I was just, you know, with Jeff, and I didn't care what anybody else was doing and thinking. And I was like, huh, I'm not going to talk to you because I'm going to win today. And yeah, I got my ass handed, got my butt handed to me, which was fair. And I deserved it. I deserved to kind of be put on the back burner because I wasn't ready. And this time around, I learned a lot along the way on my journey, opening up to people that opened up to me first, you know. And actually, what really helped too was having girls ask me questions about, you know, what I do in the gym, and, you know, Carrie, you look so great, I need help with this or with that. It made me feel good. It was like, oh, okay, I'm actually doing something right. But instead of like, yeah, you should be asking me, I was thank you so much for trusting me, you know, with your physical, you know, your body and what you do in the gym, and I appreciate that. And just kind of just taking a step back and kind of out of myself, if that makes any sense. This isn't my body.
Yes,
this is God's body. It's His temple. And I'm just here to, you know, just do what I can in the meantime and appreciate those people around me instead of taking everything for granted was the biggest difference from 2015 to 2017 is just turning to that girl beside me and saying, good luck out there. You're going to do great no matter how it goes.
Yeah. You know, and I would piggyback that because there is, and I talked about this at the Mayhem when I was backstage, you know, because this one guy was basically saying, you know, I'm going to win and this, that, whatever. And I said, you know, it's great to have that mindset, but if you realize the disrespect you do for every other competitor in this room, it's not worth it. And then the other part is you don't know what the judges are looking for. Because, you know,
exactly,
a lot of people go in shows not reading the criteria for the organization they're competing. And then, like you said, they get their butts handed to them because they're not matching up to criteria. So even though they might be the best-looking person, they could be in the wrong class. Mm-hmm. They could be in the wrong category. They could be in the wrong, you know, anything. Or they could have a tan that doesn't show that great look they get to see backstage. So there's so many variables to that. But there's also the fact of humility. And people forget that stage presence, your personality, and the way you interact with the competitors and the judges counts either for you or against you. And a lot of people forget that. If you've got an attitude on stage, that's part of your stage presence. So, you know, we need to be mindful of that. And there's so many things that people say, you know, in the gym, oh, you know, you look like this, that, whatever. Go get that pro card. And, you know, like you said, you could either jump on the bandwagon, your own bandwagon, and basically watch it get derailed real quick, Or you could realize, mm-hmm. hey, I'm getting close to it where people are taking notice that, yeah, I might have a good chance of this. I'd better work even harder.
Right. That's exactly right. And you made a good point with saying you never know what the judges are looking for. They could be looking for a fuller physique or a super conditioned lean physique. And you just hope that you put the work in where you can bring that total package to stage and earn your pro card. And the head
yes.
judge that I was speaking of before, her name's Becky Arnold. She's well known in the industry. And
oh,
she was the one that, you know, yeah, she's the
love
one that
her.
Said, you know, Carrie, I really appreciate you showing the humility on stage and being so humble, because it does play a factor. I was
yes.
at Mr. and Miss Minnesota watching in 2016. And she was the head judge, and the guys, the bodybuilding guys, were up there bumping elbows and trying to get in front of each other. And she was mad, and she made everybody get off stage. She was like, nope, this isn't working, everybody off stage, because she doesn't go for that. And then, you know, she
yeah.
had a talk with them, and they all came back out, and hoping that they respect each other a little bit more. But there are judges that definitely pay attention to that, and you know, they'll knock you for it, or there's judges that couldn't care less about how you act on stage, but there are judges that definitely take notice.
Yes. And it, like I said, it's going to help you or it can cost you, and you have to
mm-hmm.
be vital with it. And I am shocked that this show is almost over. And listeners, I'm sorry for not getting all your questions. Carrie was just being so open and so real. I did not want to take
sorry.
Away from that. Yeah, you guys need to. It's because she was spitting truth, and anytime somebody can speak God's truth, everybody needs to hear it. So, Carrie, I'll give you this time to give you shout-outs, and we'll get ready to end the show.
I know. I'm so sad, and I apologize, listeners. I chatty Kathy tonight. But I just want to thank Kaylin and PP for supporting me and being there for me and being one of my biggest fans. And I want to say thank you to my coach. His name's James Shmagranoff. He's amazing. And, of course, to my wonderful husband for supporting me and prepping my meals when I didn't feel like getting out of bed. And anybody that wants to reach out to me, I'm on Facebook and Instagram, and I'm also going to start a posing clinic via Skype. So be on the lookout for that.
There you go. Well, Carrie, thanks so much. And, you know, sorry I didn't get a chance to catch up to you in at the mayhem itself, because, you know, I think I'm like the hobbit sometimes when I'm on the road, because it's always adventure. And the one thing that I did not know about, I do know now, but I did not know then, is there's certain parts of Minnesota that don't have AT&T service towers. So, you know, good luck with that with GPS. So I know now, and I know to stay on the interstates as much as possible. So, you know, next year, or I'll see you before that. But, you know, just,
yeah.
And I do
absolutely.
Apologize for that. But congratulations on a great win, a great year. And, you know, just being a great individual while it happens, because we've lost so much with the egos
mm-hmm.
and the pride and everything else. And it's nice to see somebody down to earth and still winning, because that's important
mm-hmm.
for the growth of the sport as a whole.
Yeah, thank you so much, Kaylin. I really appreciate that. And just so you know, a heads up, Jeff and I are planning on coming to the P4P show in Wisconsin next summer. So
all right.
we're going to be there to help out, support, you know, so we're planning on that.
Okay.
So I won't be competing.
Well, I'll make sure to let the guys know. Yeah, you better have my food ready, because I missed out on that one, and that's my fault.
They were salted caramel brownies, just so you know.
Just make some more. Just make some more.
I will.
I don't want to be the fact, but I will be.
You got it.
All right, Gary. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you so much, guys.
All right. God bless you now. Have a great night.
You too.
So that was Carrie. She did a great job. And, you know, she's had a great year, and she's had great support. And no man is an island. You hear me say this 1,000 times over. We have so much to do, but we have so many people helping us to do it. So if you're not thinking about yourself, Think about the people that help you when you make that I statement. It should be more like we and us, because there's so many people that are involved in everything you do. So God bless everybody. Des, missed you. I hope you had a chance to listen to this in the archive. And everybody, please have a blessed and safe holidays coming up. This is Kalen Patterson, P4P Real Talk Midwest Muscle. We are out.
Mm-hmm.